This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. We're going to be here for the next hour talking to you about all kinds of stuff going on in your yard and garden. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I was going to wait till now to move the microphone.
I was going
to
say, you couldn't do that before the show started.
I'll leave it for now.
Yeah.
Busy. Beautiful, good. Clear morning.
Wasn't Another yesterday. One.
Yeah. No, it wasn't yesterday.
We actually got a tenth or less of an inch of rain,
a quarter.
It seemed like a decent amount of rain at my house.
It was enough to wet the bags and be an inconvenience, but it was not enough to qualify as a watering.
A watering?
Yes.
So keep your if your sprinklers are on, keep them on.
Are you gonna doubt?
I'm gonna disagree because if you've got plants right around the house, all that water that shed off the roof. That portion of the house or those plants in the ground by the house have plenty of water.
Okay.
Well,
and if you have a leaky,
I have rain gutters, so it just goes straight to the
street. If you have a leaky hose or pipe that's just been running all the time, you don't need to water that area either. Is that what you're saying?
That is also correct.
Okay, thank you. And if a water truck came by and accidentally unloaded,
also correct.
Okay,
yes,
yeah. Just want to make.
Does that happen?
It does.
Okay.
How often and where, I have no idea, but it has happened, I guarantee it.
Okay, I'm sure you're right.
Well, we are about halfway through with February.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It really is.
That's a short month.
Well, that's true. Yeah, we do have that going for us.
Well, I heard it identifies as a 31-day month this year, so it's going to be longer. I don't know if that's true or not, but I heard February is going to be longer this year than normally. Nobody wants to touch that.
No.
Okay.
Let's see. What do we got? Yesterday was the beginning of Lunar New Year, formerly known as Chinese New Year. And it's the year of the
ox, I think.
Year of the ox, I believe. Yes.
I heard that over the loudspeaker at work yesterday.
Somebody announced
it?
Radio
show? Or somebody announced it?
Somebody announced it.
Oh, interesting. A couple of the things that we usually sell out of around this time of the year, forsythias that
yes.
we bring in from Monrovia up in Oregon, which it's a spectacular plant.
Yes, when it's in flowers,
when they start flowering, brilliant canary yellow flowers all over it, and the flowers come out before the foliage does. But they didn't stay in stock very long at all this year.
No, we just got some new.
Did
ones
you just
in.
Get some more? In?
Yeah, we. Had a Monrovia order released yesterday, as a matter of fact, in Poway.
Oh, very good.
So there were some fresh ones out
front.
Pretty
sure.
Yeah.
The other plant that is very popular this time of the year because of the Lunar New Year is Ochna, the Mickey Mouse plant.
Yes.
Which is, I think it's kind of a neat looking plant.
Yeah.
It's a nice looking plant anyway, but a really bizarre flower on it.
Yeah, it is.
When they start to flower.
And it looks like a pomegranate to me, the foliage.
It does.
That
kinda,
it does. It does.
Yeah, it kind of looks like a layered pomegranate.
We got some of those in, and I didn't see any flowers on them, but the plants look decent.
Yeah, we had sold out of them last week, and then I think we got 1 gallons and 5 gallons in Poway this week. I saw them on the cart as they were being stocked.
Trucks were coming in all week long, just like it was April, May, or June. And it's February, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Early February. Well,
the amount of material
it's not
that's
early
coming,
February, but yes,
coming
yes.
in and going.
The sales volume that both of the stores had in January was what we would typically do in May. It was it was incredible. I've never seen anything like it. Kind of scared to see what's going to happen in May.
Correct.
At this point. Speaking of spring, we are getting, if the weather holds the way that it has been, we are getting close to the springtime transition. Roses are already.
Yeah, they're taking off
they're,
now.
They're growing they look like fantastic. Crazy. As a matter of fact, if you buy roses now in containers, I would recommend waiting until
another couple of months.
Another month or so, or the end of March, before you take them out of the containers.
Yeah,
but if you want to get what you're looking for, you should get in. You should get in and get it because we're already selling out of
many
varieties. Bunch of stuff. As a matter of fact, I had a customer email us last week. They were looking for fragrant cloud, and all gone. I went out and looked, and they are gone.
A lot of varieties are gone, but there's still a lot of
there's a lot of roses
available.
But. There are a lot of roses available still, but yeah, a lot of them are disappearing.
David, your rule of thumb on the roses when we do the bare root into the pots is it
this much?
That much?
Yeah, 2 to 3 inches.
Well, I thought you always said once they start getting out, they're more than 3 inches, then you should wait for the flowering. Once they flower, that'll be a good indication it's safe to pull them out of the pot.
Yes, and because we use that peat moss based soil. It's a light soil, so you can probably get away with it a little bit earlier, but you want to be careful at this point because the feeder roots that are supporting all that new growth will be damaged if they come out too soon and the soil falls away, and that'll damage it. It won't kill them most likely, but it will damage them, and we are expecting a warm, dry week ahead, so especially now would not be a good time to do it.
No.
Completely agree.
Agreed? Yeah.
Yes.
And the bare root trees as well as you're going to head down that path. The numbers, the variety, we probably have a quarter to a third of the varieties that we started with. In
Poway, we've emptied 10 bins that are gone. We've consolidated. There's not a lot of varieties left. We have a lot of apples, but not a lot of varieties of other things.
A lot of stuff's in bloom already, too.
Yeah.
Peaches and apples, the early apples, yeah.
Peaches and apples are
the pears are starting to push growth.
And the bees are loving them. There's so many bees in the back. Flying around all the blooming peach trees. He's crazy.
We did get some new bare root stuff in from a grower in the
Arkansas, wasn't it?
Arkansas that we had not gotten from before, and it's actually really, really nice looking stuff. UC-157 asparagus that people had been asking about.
Now I was concerned because we used to get 2 year. Asparagus roots back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And these were 1 year asparagus roots. And I thought, well, it's all we can get, so we'll get them. But they certainly look like what we used to be told were 2 and 3 year asparagus
roots.
Correct.
Yeah, I noticed that. It's like
some of them are a little small in the clumps, but some of them were extra large in the clumps. And they look gorgeous. If I wanted asparagus, I would have bought some. But I set a bundle aside for George, and he didn't want it.
I have an asparagus bed going, so.
Well, what surprised me when you said that they were one-year crowns, we had been getting, throughout the spring last year, we were getting seedling asparagus in. And you look at seedling asparagus and think, I was shocked if it could go from seedling to
1 year.
One year to that crown in 1 year. I mean, that's growing like crazy.
Maybe they grow better in Arkansas.
Maybe. But
They probably get a lot more water in Arkansas. It's a lot easier to water them. You don't have to do a lot.
Yeah, but they really nice crowns. And we got some new blackberries in, and the blackberries were really nice too.
And my blackberry guru, Jim, was pretty excited about the what I call ponca, but he said ponca, the P-O-N-C-A. He thinks mm-hmm. that's going to be a really good berry. He came in and picked up 4 or 5 of them. He wants to test them and see. He's been happiest with Wachita up until now for its production here in Southern California. And he's very excited about trying the Ponza.
And then there was what was the other name? Cato?
Cato.
C-A-D-D-E-O.
Yeah.
Those are thornless too, aren't they?
Well, I know the Ponza. Yeah, I think they both are.
At least one of them is because I remember grabbing it and there were no thorns on it.
Cato, the plants weren't as nice as the ponzas, but they should be fine after a season in the ground.
I would think so. They should grow like crazy.
We ate a blackberry yesterday out of the garden, the first one. They're all flowering, and they have some small fruit, but one of them was one
berry.
Ready. One berry was ready.
How was it?
It was a little tart, but it was good to have one out of the garden already. There's a lot of fruit forming.
My grandparents used to have a huge stand of young berries in their garden, and they would produce like crazy. It was incredible how much fruit that they would produce.
You know, we were talking about that cane that I found in the back, and the buds were upside down, and what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. The ones that came in, the buds are upside down, and I realized those canes are going to bloom this year and be done, and they're going to put up new canes. It really doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all, because it's going to come up from the base. They're floricanes, which means they will bloom on 1 year old wood, 1 year old branches. So the one that's there is just here to say goodbye and then to put on the new growth for next year's fruit. So that's all that matters. Kind of like a seed potato.
It's all that matters.
It's all that matters. Just to give them a good, healthy start and kick them out the door.
Send them on their way.
Yeah, that's true. It's not gonna do much.
And wait for them to call back and say, I'm independent. Can you send me money?
Exactly.
Help me maintain my independence.
Let's be independent together.
Valentine's Day is tomorrow. If you haven't picked up a gift for Valentine.
Or if you don't need one.
Or if you don't need one. Yeah, that there's that. But there's a lot of stuff available right now.
Oh, it looks gorgeous. The Alstrom areas. We got in some really nice blooming tulips as well. Some miniature roses.
I saw those come. Those were the tulips are in 4-inch, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
3 or 4 blooms per pot. The plants and blooms. They look really nice. And they're in perfect bloom right now for Valentine's Day.
The Alstroemerias we've been getting in are really nice.
Yeah,
and we've been getting some yellows too, which are very popular and usually
hard to find.
Usually
yes.
Not easy to find. But that yellow that Dan's been growing is spectacular.
Yeah.
Mr. Fruit Only guy, do you make space in your garden for Alstroemeria?
I do have some Alstroemerias. I actually have a lot of seedling Alstroemerias that just self-sow that popping up everywhere.
I wasn't sure.
Hummingbirds like them. And at the nursery in Poway, towards late afternoon, early evening, the hummingbirds come to feed on them.
Sounds like a lyric from a song. When the hummingbirds come to feed. Anyway, I'll hum you a few bars after
later
the break.
On. Yeah, I appreciate it and see if I can remember.
My grandfather used to have a huge section of his yard that was, he had planted some Alstroemerias and they just took over.
Let it go, yeah.
Yeah, it was a huge swath of
Alstroemerias. It's funny because some people used to have a tough time growing those things. Back in the day.
I've got one growing in a pot. And I don't even know where it came from because I didn't bring it home. But it's in a pot with
a little hummingbird brought you.
It was
the
a seedling.
It's in a pot with a Dizygotica or Aurelia. Elegantissima, as it used to be known.
Way back in the day, we used to get tubers.
Right.
Yeah.
And with the bulbs that were hard to grow. People had a tough time getting those to grow.
Yeah, I could never get it to work.
And that's when we used to get in the bright yellows and bright oranges, and that's why we don't have any, because nobody was able to get them to grow.
Yeah.
But now.
And then Monrovia was growing that super dwarf one for a while. It would only get about 6 inches tall.
The Princess or Inca.
Inca or Princess series, yeah.
And then there's also the variegated one, which
yeah,
I think.
Rock and roll.
Yeah, the green and white leaf.
With
the
reddish flower.
Or yeah. Burnt orange, I think.
I have some of those.
Remember when Ample used to grow that dark leafed one too, but I haven't seen that one since he's
Since Ample
retired.
Put
growing
it.
Yeah.
The reason I have those in my yard is being a lazy gardener. I put one or two in in a pot that I just brought home, and now they're everywhere, and it's easy. I don't have to deal with them. Because
there is a way to control them I can help you with if you want to ever do that, is you bring them home in the pot and then don't water them. And it takes them a couple of years, but they eventually
die.
Yeah. I also learned a new trick about dormant spraying on roses, about labels and mixing things, which we don't have to talk about. But I'd like to share after
the break.
Yeah.
Okay. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
When I got to the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same, but it's all right now.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. And we're talking about all kinds of things going on in the garden. You were going to talk about...
I can't imagine. We
spraying
have
your
to
roses?
Break the tension, all these people waiting to hear what happened. So when we used to prune roses back in the day, we had lime sulfur, and everybody sprayed their peaches, nectarines, and roses with lime sulfur after they got done pruning. And the joke about lime sulfur was, if your plants hadn't gone dormant and there were still leaves on them, that's okay. The lime sulfur will
take them off.
So we talk about the label and how important that is. And I don't know why, but I took my tank sprayer and I mixed some Immunox, which when I was pouring the Immunox from the container into my tank sprayer unmeasured, I realized it looked a little thin, so I probably needed to shake it before I poured it to make sure it's homogeneous. And then I got some Infuse, another fungicide, and I poured some of that in unmeasured, and then I put some oil in just for good measure in case there was anything unmeasured, and I mixed it all up and I sprayed it on my roses.
You're lucky it didn't explode.
Yeah. Is that what that smoke was from? And the next day I came home from work, and I was looking at my lovely roses with their new tender growth out on them, and boy, it looked different.
The nice shiny leaves, it looked clean.
The shiny, clean green leaves had brown spots over them, purple rims on the brown spots, and the combination, the unmeasured, unlabeled combination that I mixed up was not good for the roses. But it did tell me one thing. I have seen customers' leaves that have come in that I have not been able to ascertain what the problem was, and now I know what it was. They put something on it. It was a spray burn.
They shouldn't have put on it.
Something they shouldn't have put on it, or it was too hot, or the plant was drought stressed. Something
mixed with something else.
Yes, yes. So it was a learning experience, and now I can. I think it's tax deductible now.
Well, I remember a long time ago the ortho Rosenflower, the two in one, the fertilizer, and when the active insecticide was Dicistone.
Dicistone, yes, yes.
If people overdid it, if they overfed that, well, it wouldn't necessarily be overfeeding, but if they overapplied the product,
the Dicistone, yes,
the Dicistone would mutate the flower.
Yes,
they would get that really weird.
And we used to caution people to wait until they bloomed once each year before doing it, because that would mitigate some of the problems.
Yeah.
But that's why I guess they have labels.
Well, what I was going to say is, when I teach the organic insect control class, I cite something that you often say to people, and that is that it's a violation of federal law to use this product in a manner inconsistent with its labeling, right? Because the label is the law. And according to the EPA, that is legally enforceable. There's a plethora of information on the back of those labels.
Yeah, but
the
label
was washed
off.
The key part is the stuff about what the combination, you know, what you should do with it, when you should use it, how much you should use.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, there we go.
Yes, sir.
We always thought that was just a guide. That's just, not just a
They're
guide.
Guidelines, really.
They're guidelines.
But then you have the other problem where you have insecticides or chemicals in ready-to-spray bottles.
Oh, what pray tell happened there?
It's the blue the story of the blue bottle.
Yeah. Oh, the bear bottle.
What is that bottle?
Yeah, bear.
It could be anything. But
well,
yes.
You formerly Bear, now BioAdvance. Chemicals ready to spray comes in the same bottle. It's just a blue bottle that you attach to your hose
with different labels on them.
Completely different labels and completely different chemicals inside those bottles. And we had and in my rose garden at home, this was a few years ago, had rose midge. What is
slug?
Rose slug. Yeah. Rose slug. And so Melanie was telling me, you need to go. You need to go spray them.
Oh, I'm sure she said, oh, Ken, I think there might be some bugs on the roses. Could you take a look?
Yeah, you need to go spray them.
Okay. That might have been like that.
So I go out into the garage, see the blue bottle, grab it, go spray the roses. Then not quite a week later, Melanie's like, something's going on with the roses.
You need to spray again.
So I go out and take a look, and I'm like, God, that really looks bad. And then I went and retraced my steps, and I went and picked up the blue bottle, and I had sprayed them all with broadleaf weed killer from the lawn, which is in the same exact bottle as the rose and flower.
So don't try this at home, folks. These people are professionals.
Yeah, so there is a label on it. Just make sure it's the correct label that
it's
you're
the correct
spraying.
Product.
It's the correct product because it can have some serious consequences.
We're not exactly as simple as we're being portrayed here. We do these things so that we can share our experiences
to help the
public. Yeah. Yes, it's not because we're,
Well, we're not that stupid, but close.
on occasion, only as directed.
Yeah. Oh, the other, one of the other things that we got in Bear Root, but we also have, I can't believe how many flats of it.
Before you go away,
yes.
Did the roses die? Did they?
No, they came back.
How long did it take them from spraying them with herbicide to come back?
Better part of a season.
Okay, that, ladies and gentlemen, is why sometimes you have to spray your weeds twice to get rid of them completely. So it made its mark.
They were deformed for a long time.
But there were no weeds underneath it. It looked nice.
I don't remember what happened to the stuff that was growing around. The rest of it was growing around that area, but And the roses, what caught our attention after I had done that is that they just completely deform. The canes get all twisted and gnarled, defoliate.
Well, that is something that we see this time of the year with roses because people frequently have roses near their lawns.
Correct.
And they spray the lawn with an herbicide and drift gets over it. Yeah. Or somebody was using
right, the little whirly
the whirly
bird.
Gig yeah. spreads the powder, and the powder drifts over onto the leaves of non-target weeds, which could be a rose bush or any other shrub around the yard, and it damages them. It distorts them. We see a lot of it this time of the year and spring into summer as people are starting to control the weeds in their lawns.
Yeah, and people also, they have one sprayer for everything. And sometimes they'll use that for their Roundup or whatever.
That was always a big... no-no was using if you're going to spray Roundup, use one sprayer for it.
Correct.
Because of the residual on it. And then you couldn't use Roundup in galvanized.
Oh, that's true.
Galvanized sprayer. I mean, galvanized sprayer is ancient history now, but you couldn't use it in galvanized sprayer.
As short-sighted as I have been known to be, I do have two separate tank sprayers at home. They look identical, but one of them has in Sharpie Roundup written on it, and it is kind of false advertising because I don't use actual Roundup in it. I use Remuda in it, but
the active ingredient remains the same.
I know which sprayer not to use on
that
everything
is important.
Else, and I did not use that sprayer on my roses. I know that for a fact. I think.
Do
I smell eggs?
I smell popcorn.
Oh, maybe that's it. Okay.
Yeah, there's a, for whatever reason, glyphosate has a huge residual factor.
But that's interesting.
In a tank. In a tank, not in the soil.
No.
It breaks down rapidly.
It breaks down very quickly. Becomes inert, from what I understand, almost as soon as it hits soil. But in a tank sprayer, it has a very strong residual. If you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk.
I have an area on my driveway because I was spraying Roundup on all the weeds coming out of the cracks and stuff. And there's one place in the center of my driveway where I did not get three what were very small little dandelions coming out of a crack. And now they're pretty big. And first thing in the morning when I look down the driveway, there's looks like a little animal. That's just the shadow of it on the dark driveway. But I need to get rid of them. But I didn't have any Roundup residue left in my sprayer. So I know.
It's a dandelion. Can't you just pull it up and eat it?
Yeah, I probably could. You want me to bring it to you?
Well, not if you've sprayed Roundup on it.
Well, no, I haven't sprayed Roundup on it. That was the point of my story.
We had sautéed vegetables from the garden yesterday, greens, and there were 8 different greens from the garden, including Italian dandelions.
Okay. Italian imported dandelions?
Domestic
ones weren't good
enough. Immigrant
dandelions.
Yeah.
You know,
the work that American dandelions won't do.
I smell the butter, and that's why it reminds me of eggs, because I always put butter in the pan before I cook eggs. And so
greens.
Exploded greens. Is that what it is? Okay. I'm going to bring you some dandelions. My neighbor's license plate is dandelion. She's a big dandelion fan for some reason. I don't know why. But you were going to go off onto something about Beirut.
Strawberries.
Gotcha.
We got Beirut strawberries in a couple from the same grower in Arkansas.
Their stuff looks good. We'll
it's
get a
nice
bunch
stuff
for next year.
Yeah, we will definitely be doing that next year. But on top of the Beirut strawberries that we got in this year, we have tons of color of 6-packs of strawberries.
Oh yes, yes,
all a bunch of different varieties.
My overzealous customer who likes to overstudy said the Albions were her favorite after going through over and details of whatever. It was Albion was the one she picked as the best, and she came in and bought like 2 or 3 flats of them.
I like Albions.
I may have to get some.
I've never looked that closely.
I haven't either.
Typically I don't, but I was told by an old customer of mine that said Helen Contesti was her name.
Oh,
she told
no.
me Albion. Don't go any further than Albion. And she told me that years and years ago, and I it was kind of
well, so now it's corroborated.
Yeah.
We have a second source, so I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to purchase some Albion strawberries this weekend and take them home.
And then what?
Yeah.
we'll see if they live.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Hey, baby steps.
I took them home a couple years ago and promptly killed them.
Just left them.
Yeah.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to be back with more right after this break.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
To the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same, but it's all right now.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We'd love to talk to you. As a matter of fact, we are going to go to Ranch Bernardo, where Robert is waiting. Good morning, Robert. How are you?
I'm fine. Good morning, gentlemen.
What can we do for you?
Well, I have some clivias. I think that's how you pronounce it. Mm-hmm. 5-gallon clivias that I planted under some palm trees in the front yard a few years ago. And they were doing beautifully, and I believe I picked up some grow right at your nursery in Poway, and I fed them with that, and they even did more magnificently after being fed. Now they're getting a little clumpy, and some are dying out, and some are flourishing, and I'm wondering how I should really maintain those to keep them going well.
It's probably time to divide them. They do get too clumpy and they compete, over-compete.
Right.
So the grow power, it was probably grow power you got.
Grow power, that was it.
Helped them out tremendously. And sometime this winter, spring, summer, or fall, to borrow a phrase, I would dig up the clump and divide them and replant.
And replant.
Yes.
Huh? Okay.
Spread them out so there's a little less competition, or if you don't want to go through that effort, just feed the heck out of them and water them more and see if you can't keep them happy together, to borrow another lyric.
It's pretty shady there. The edges get some sun, and I think that's...
That'll brown them, yeah.
Yeah. One other question, if you have a moment.
Certainly.
So you mentioned earlier forsythia. I used to live in New Jersey, and they would be beautifully in bloom with the yellow flowers. Is that the same type of plant that I might have had back there?
Probably, yeah.
Yes.
I would say so, yeah.
Okay. What size plant do you have up in the Poway store?
Twos or fives?
Two or five. Terrific. Yeah. I'll stop in this afternoon and pick up. I love those things. It's just a nice reminder that spring is right here. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It's a beautiful plant.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for the call. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Take care. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. Yeah, I guess that could be one of those plants that East Coast people remind them of
right,
where
yes.
they used
yep.
to be. There was, yes. some, there was something
what
else.
Is, that, do you know what our harbinger of spring is? That's common name of the plant is harbingers of spring. And when I worked at Nurseryland, when they existed, I think it was about January, February, we'd get a truckload of them in, of this one particular plant.
Rafts?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Raphiolepis?
Yeah, Raphiolepis. It's harbinger of spring.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Is.
That was in, yeah.
What its common name is.
The other one that is just about ready to start blooming is pink jasmine.
Yes, they are. Yeah, yeah. The buds are swelling.
We've got
we've
got them in hanging baskets. We've got them in 5-gallon containers. We have them in 1-gallon containers. It's a spectacular plant for about
a month. Yeah, exactly.
It's just a green
vigorous,
vine.
Exactly.
Yeah. Vigorous vine.
Vigorous
right?
vine. Very vigorous, but the flowers don't always drop off. You got to kind of clean them. I'm not a big fan of them personally, but they have the insane fragrance.
Oh, it absolutely they incredible
are,
fragrance.
Yeah, wonderful.
Incredible
you,
color. But.
If you have a spot where you can kind of ignore it and just get the breeze bringing the
right,
fragrance, they're
correct.
Spectacular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a neat plant. But like you said, you kind of
messy.
They don't shed.
Yeah, you got to go in and
flowers. You got to kind of clean them up a little
yeah.
bit. But for that 1 month.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Give them 6 to 8 weeks.
They're the
if you're
the most spectacular thing in your garden.
If you're a tidy gardener, it's not for you.
Agreed.
If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We had talked about it's getting towards the end of the bare root season. So if you want to plant a fruit tree that's not in a container, better get into the store and see what's left.
Yeah, we're still getting phone calls. Do you have your bare roots in yet? Yes. They're going quickly. Well, I hopefully can get in this weekend. If you want something,
yeah, you better get
the
in.
The time is
they are going
running out.
Quickly.
Yes.
There are many varieties we don't have. There are no persimmons, for example. We had 7 varieties of persimmon.
However,
Yeah, persimmons, yes.
We have 15-gallon fuyus in great abundance.
They're
and
gorgeous,
yesterday
too.
I was cruising around the Monrovia availability, and I found another 100. So we now have plenty.
Locked and loaded.
Yes, locked and loaded. So we'll be able to pull from them all season long.
Those are potted varieties.
Those are potted. No, no more bare root. That's over.
Right. Yeah.
I don't think we've ever sold so many persimmons.
Well, yeah. I mean, we've never ordered enough of them. I know Point Loma hasn't, and
yeah,
we always run out.
We always sell out of them in bare root. But I mean, even just container persimmons, we can't keep them in stock.
That is
I don't
true.
Know what, I don't know why they got so popular.
Nor do
so
I.
So quickly, but this year just seems to be insane.
They're fairly easy to grow.
Yes,
they are. They're a very durable plant, and they are fairly pest free. Except for the squirrels that come for the fruit when it's ripe.
Coyotes,
too.
Yeah.
But it's, I think, a great piece of fruit. And I think more and more people are recognizing that. There's always been a kind of a stigma attached to them that people think about the hachia, the one you have to eat soft, and then think that that's kind of gross and don't even associate the fuyu, which you eat like an apple. And they're great for you. And the hachia, the flavor of a persimmon, maybe it's an acquired taste, but it's delish.
The hachias are good. You just have to wait for them
wait
to
till they're super soft.
They're too too astringent, and yeah. I think that was one of the things that turned people
you
off.
You bite right, into the wrong persimmon at the wrong time. Yeah, they're awful.
You won't want another one.
I was picking some Hachia persimmons for a friend of mine who wanted to make some cookies, and there was one. I was up on a ladder up on the tree, and there was one that was super soft, super ripe on the tree. It just hadn't fallen, and when I picked it, the stem stayed on the tree, so there was a big opening, and I just inhaled the whole thing in one kind of bite, and it was really good. The flavor is really good.
Yeah. Kind of like John Belushi eating that hamburger in a Animal House.
In Animal House, kind of like that. I was trying to. Anyway, it was really good, and so we do have a supply of those, and we also this next week will have 15-gallon Haas and 15-gallon Fuerte avocados at both stores. Sometime to the middle end of next week, we got a few of each and some guavas, some pink and white guavas as well. I had tried to take all of the 15-gallon Fuerte avocados they had, but the company said, sorry, we're limiting you to 4. So we're getting 4, and I started an order for you. You're getting both store. Each store is getting 4. Because that's all
kinda,
we can get.
Kind of strange.
Well, yeah. You were showing me the
availability
last week. And
I got a new one. I got a new one this week, and there's less.
There's even less?
Nothing's added on.
Wow.
They pushed things back further?
I guess so. Now, I did place another order. Maybe we're going to get some stuff from Laverne. I'm expecting some small but fruited Nagami kumquats sometime next week. We'll see if they actually show up. Their availability says they have nothing. But if you call and ask, maybe.
Right.
So,
few, but yes.
Do you have any guavas growing in your yard?
I do.
What varieties?
I have the pink, I'm not sure what, the green leaf pink variety with kind of a tangy flavor. It's delish. It's done. And then I have two different large white fruit, green exterior, one round, one pear-shaped that Ample gave me when I moved into my house. And they made a really nice screen between me and the neighbor. And they produce a ton of fruit. They keep the rats and other vermin very happy. I get very few of them.
Rats love them. That's yes. A good point. I use that in the traps when I want to catch rats as I go get some of the guavas that they have eaten. It works very, very well.
I'm wondering how much fruit it saves me elsewhere in the yard because they're attracted to that. So.
They're very pungent. If you let them overripe, you know that they're there.
Oh. It used to make me sick to my stomach. That's an acquired scent. It's like durian, I guess.
They are delicious in a smoothie with a little honey. Very good.
Is that who you share your smoothie with, or you put honey in the
honey
smoothie?
Honey from the bees, yeah.
Gotcha, gotcha.
I was talking about guavas. My dad and I were in Hawaii one time. I think I've relayed the story before. We were in Oahu. And we drove up to the Tantalus Rainforest, which is up along the ridgeline in the mountains behind Waikiki. And we're driving along, and it's absolutely beautiful. I mean, you talk about rainforest, that is total rainforest. And we're driving along in the car, and we've got the windows down, and all of a sudden it's just like, oh my God, it's just horrible.
It's like somebody punched you in the face.
It's just the most sickening smell that you can imagine. And there were just these giant guava trees that grew up over the road, and all the fruit was ripening, and there was nothing to eat it, so all the fruit was ripening and falling down and smashed all over the asphalt and baking in that tropical sun.
Okay. Oh, I'm gonna have to ask, compare and contrast the guava stench in Hawaii to the crab stench in Tahiti.
It was in Bora Bora.
In Bora Bora,
both horrendously bad.
Okay.
But just different. There's a big difference between rotten guava and rotten seafood.
But they're both equally awful. Okay.
Yeah.
I remember being in Hawaii and the fruit of the pandanus was all over the ground making a mess, and the flies and the stink.
Oh, I've seen the fruit on pandanus before, but I don't ever remember.
And Dan, we've been had a lot of customers asking for it lately.
We had it a couple of years ago. Some really nice ones. I don't remember where we got them from, but we did have some.
We got some from the nursery formerly known as Proven Winners. They had grown a bunch as a test. And then we got some from somebody else this last year. We had the variegated ones only. And then actually, the last ones I saw had some red. No, yeah. I had some red ones in not too long ago. I don't remember who they came from.
Neat plant when it gets big. It looks similar to a Dracaena.
Right.
But or like a Dracaena with thorns. Because they do have barbs on them.
It's kind of like the leaf is kind of like a coarse pampas grass leaf. You know, serrated along the edges and can get after you. What I remember during the summer of my guavas that I leave on the ground that the animals don't eat is the little fruit flies that clouds of them that like to hang out in that portion of the yard.
Yeah, they can do that. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to take a break, and we're going to be back with more Garden Talk right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
To the garden party, they all knew my name. No one recognized me. I didn't look the same.
But and we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. And you were just at the break, you were talking about what?
Well, peas? First, you want to give a shout out to Barbara. I think we just doubled our audience.
Doubled our audience.
Barbara got up early. Welcome, Barbara.
Yeah, welcome to the show, Barbara. I hope you're enjoying your retirement. But you're talking about peas.
Oregon sugar pod 2. I didn't want to plant them because they were shorter, and I wanted to plant taller vines because I was going to get so much more fruit off of them.
However,
my neighbor's Oregon sugar pod 2s are probably 4 to 5 feet tall and covered with fruit. And my other peas are 8 feet tall, but there's so much less fruit. And it's kind of like the semi-dwarf versus standard. In the long term, you may get more off of a standard tree, but you get more fruit per square inch off of a semi-dwarf because it's
more compact.
And their production, it produces earlier and way ahead, and there's tons of fruit. When it first started fruiting, I was, I didn't want to take it all because I would only have one pea pod when I went over there. But now they're not keeping up with it, and I had a half a dozen pea pods yesterday, and there's still plenty there.
God, they are so good right off the vine.
Correct.
Yes.
Oh, man, that really is. Really is tasty. And what variety was that again? Oregon?
It's the sugar pod 2.
Oregon sugar pod 2.
A ton of fruit and a ton of vegetable in a small space.
Well, technically, I guess it is a fruit.
Okay. Whew. Oh, thank goodness. Yeah. I don't want anyway, that's good. I'm glad to know it. But anyway, that's my little story. I have more flowers now on mine as it's getting up overhead on my arbor, on my bean arbor.
That's another thing. You have to go get them.
Yes.
On the taller varieties.
And I'm going to have to get up on a step stool. I'll probably fall and break my hip. And
hopefully.
Hip replacement. You'll be on a cane. Yeah.
Well, that's better than just taking me out back and getting rid of me. So if I can do all that.
Which you almost did yourself last week when you stepped backwards onto the curb.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And fortunately, I stepped perfectly, so I did not kill myself. But I was.
As evidenced by you being here this morning.
I am here. But it was
touch and go.
Super close. Yeah, I almost just tripped over a berm and fell backwards onto concrete, but I stepped perfectly, so I survived. But that's why you should not walk backwards and wave to people as they are leaving the nursery.
I have a problem just walking forward sometimes. Yeah. So
However, I would have been on the clock.
So I had that going for me, which is good.
Well, you know, like they say, though, as far as OSHA is concerned, you're, from a company standpoint, better off if they don't make it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, but the
paper, not that we're wishing.
The paperwork involved. Carrots, too. Although my carrots look much. I did a grow bag of carrots, and I planted them thinner. I didn't plant the seeds as densely this year as last, but there's still way too many in the pot. But I've been harvesting young carrots, the white ones and the orange ones and some red. They're delish. And the younger they are, the more delicious they are. But they're 3-4 inches long, and they're in soft potting soil because I did them in the grow bag. And I could, it probably is a little better if I rinsed them, but because it's in soft soil, I can just wipe it right off and eat.
That's
and they're
to go.
Raised.
What,
and
what soil did you use?
I used Edna's Best potting soil with, I think I probably threw in a little bit of compost with it. The beets, however, are a totally different story.
What's going on with your beets?
I thought I planted a little thinner, but it's a pretty big sea of beets. But so right now I just go down and take a few leaves every morning for the vitamins and minerals. You know, those purity products, they say all that stuff comes out of the leaves. I'm doing it straight. I just go out and eat them. And because they're raised and because they haven't been sprayed, I'm not too concerned about them being dirty, so I can eat them straight out of the garden. And I'm pretty excited about it. They're not bad. And the yellow beets have yellow veins on their green leaves. The red beets have red veins and a reddish tinge to them. But I think the yellow beets have a little more tang to the foliage.
They look like Swiss chard almost.
Yeah, they do.
Because Swiss chard is a beet.
Are you sure about that?
I'm positive. Look up the botanical when you get some time.
Okay. You know, when
the
you
genus.
Said I'm, okay.
I'll, but chard doesn't. Chard doesn't.
It doesn't form a
tuber.
No, but it is. Swiss chard is the same genus.
Didn't know that.
It's beets.
And is it edible raw, or you have to cook Swiss chard?
It's edible raw. Put it in salad and stuff.
Is it as good as my young beet greens?
I think it's pretty comparable, actually.
I think
it actually does a little bit. It tastes a little better if you get a frost on it. There's something about
it. But the
leaves
are bigger. You certainly get much more.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Oh. Well, we don't even have to mention it. You don't have any beets growing, do you, Marky?
No.
I know Ken doesn't.
Nope.
But I think we're gonna be bigger people, and this is gonna be the first time we're gonna talk about beets and not
pick on Ken.
Not pick on Ken. We're gonna
let ours are coming up too. But we've been using older seeds for everything. I have a bunch of seeds everywhere, and so I've been the germination rate's not quite what it should be.
I should do to thin out naturally. Yeah. I'll just plant older seeds, so I get fewer plants.
You have to be a little bit more zealous. Get out there and plant, overplant.
I did notice, and this goes back to the gentleman's clivias in Rancho Bernardo. I planted my mom's beets much thinner, and her foliage looks like they're ready to pick because the foliage is much larger. But the bulbs are still tiny, so they're not ready to pick. My beets are so crowded, the leaves are all small. But it looks like it's a nice forest. It's super dense, but because of the competition, the leaves are a third of the size or a quarter of the size.
Are they in grow bags as well?
Yes, they are. All raised. It's very, very nice. I'm going to have to go thin. I have eaten some. I've just pulled the beets out and eaten the whole thing.
Right.
And there's a little bit of a bite to the raw beet. A little burn sometimes.
Are you sure it's not a radish?
Yes. I don't eat radishes, Mr. Anderson. I do not eat them.
We had radish greens. Radishes. We had radish greens in our sautéed green mix last night.
Radish greens are actually really good.
They are. They make a good pesto, so just as an aside. But yeah, I brought in beet juice squeeze that I've made a couple times. Remember with beets?
I thought you got that at Jimbo's.
I've made it as well. I brought it in from the house, but it was just beets, some ginger, an apple, and they're delicious.
It's been a while, George.
And those beets are just beets, you know, right out of the ground.
No little bit of ginger?
Well, where I'm going with that is you're talking about the tang. So that tang that you got was from those beets, you know, fresh out of the ground.
Gotcha. So those were, well, as you just said, they were not cooked at all.
Just raw beets.
Okay. No greens, just the beets.
Just the beets.
And they juice up that much. How much pulp comes out of that?
A lot.
And do you use the pulp? Or
sometimes
you
put it in a soup. Otherwise, I'll just use it in the compost.
Hmm. Fascinating, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do any of that stuff.
So why do the big question is, why don't you like radishes?
Well, we can turn that around.
This is going to be the first time we don't do that. I don't know. I think because they do have a little bite to them.
Well, that's why you. Otherwise, it would just be
a beet.
Piece of cardboard. Yeah.
Well, all right. I'm a little deflated now, Ken. Thank you. Is this what it feels like when we pick on you?
Kind
of. All right.
We have a bunch of radish volunteers in the garden because a couple of them went to seed last season, and they're just popping up everywhere, which is great if you're lazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It does work out well. One thing that we do need to mention, and it's been a couple of weeks now, but the gardening world lost an icon here in San Diego with the loss of Bill Tall from City Farmers Nursery. He was a fantastic guy and contributed a lot to the garden and nursery industry in this city, and he is going to be missed for quite a while.
Yes, so. Sorely missed, yes.
Always smiling, always upbeat.
Yes.
Usually driving from here to there, but great guy.
One of the nicest people you could meet.
Absolutely.
Definitely one of the nicest people in the industry, so he will be missed.
Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor? Send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.